I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, welcome to your own program, A Muslim Lady, where we have been discussing so many various important issues regarding Muslim lady. I hope you have enjoyed all our discussions, and I also hope you will benefit from today's discussions. I am Farman Ali Masumi, and with me in our studios, my wife Radia Batul Najafi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So in our previous episode, we talked about the very important quality of hijab in a Muslim society, you know, to show her firmness.
Exactly.
But when it comes to family, Islam says she has to be very polite, humble, soft-spoken. But unfortunately, in nowadays, we see practically it is totally different. Ladies, unfortunately, go to this. When they come in this society, they are very happy, soft-spoken.
Because society and media has just stolen them, you know, deceive them, you know, deceive in that sense that, you know, they have shown that glamour and they are giving a very artificial respect, you know, to her. Appreciation to her. So therefore, sometimes very easily they get deceived and they get attracted towards the society's pressure.
So when
lovely discussion. Very healthy discussion we have. And I'm very thankful to our Prophet that Prophet has taught us a beautiful, amazing, qualities about Muslim ladies, yeah.
We have so many beautiful treasures, and alhamdulillah, we have so many books also, so many riwayat, and our great scholars, they have done such hard work to make these riwayat reach us.
Exactly.
Great scholars like Kulaini, like Sheikh Saduq, Sheikh Mufid, Sheikh
Tusi. So because of them, you know, all because of their sacrifices, today we are so rich and we have all these treasures of sayings of Ma'sumin.
This is famous hadith that Midadul Ulama'i Afdalu Min Dima'i Shuhada, that the ink of the scholars is better than the blood of a martyr.
Indeed.
So we were talking about these qualities of a Muslim lady that a Muslim society expects from a Muslim lady. There is another thing that when she intermingles, when she comes in the society, she has to take care of some other things. For example, keeping the distance between non-mahram and herself, wherever she works and or wherever she goes. So she should be cautious about these things also. We are saying, or Islam also has said, that if ladies, they are allowed to come in the society, work for the society, help, you know, to their own societies, it means they should come and play their role, but with some conditions. And one of the conditions is to keep the distance with non-mahram. Especially a working Muslim lady, when she's supposed to cover, you know, wear hijab and cover her body with decent clothing, in talking and keeping the distance is also very important. if she is covering her body and wearing hijab, but while talking to non-mahram, she is very polite. If she is not taking care of those boundaries and limits, again, this can lead to so many problems.
Exactly. Yeah, therefore, our Prophet, he said, Al-Aziza. Yeah. She has to be sometimes very, very firm, not definitely rude. Yeah.
So we are going to have a short break. Please, listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned. Inshallah, we will come back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Once Amir al-Mu'minin al-Islam was talking to the Kufis, she was saying that, I have heard your ladies, when your ladies walk on the way, their bodies touch to non-mahram's bodies, which is very, very immoral or indecent. So Imam Ali says, do you not feel shame? It shows that these things are very important. While walking, while working, while sitting, we should always keep that certain distance.
Yeah, therefore, you know, I always take the very strict rulings of modesty, which Muslim society has this expectation from Muslim lady. I take it in a very positive way that what Muslim society says, oh, woman, you should be active, come, you know, but come with this certain conditions. And when you have the ruling of hijab and modesty, that means you have to come out from the house. Yeah. You know, you have to be like, you are allowed to be active, to be social. You know, socializing is important.
Definitely.
Yeah.
In the Holy Quran also, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَا. It is very famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some radical societies, radical Muslim societies, they say women are not allowed to work.
What is the translation of this ayah?
This ayah says, whatever men earn, it belongs to them, and whatever women earn, it belongs to them. It not only shows that they can work, but also it shows that whatever they work and whatever they earn, it belongs to them. They become the owner, the malik of whatever they earn.
Yeah.
It means they have, you know, complete freedom. They have this right of earning and doing whatever business they want to do. So it is not like this, that whatever they earn belongs to their husbands or their fathers. No, they have complete freedom in this.
No doubt.
From
they
this
are independent.
Verse.
Yeah.
Independent, yeah. A Muslim society expects from a Muslim lady to have a strong self-building characteristic and a strong behavior in the society.
And very influential,
influential,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her perspective, her religion, her, you know, opinion has so much weight and value in the Muslim society. So Muslim society never says that you have to be dependent on your father, brother, or husband. No way. You know, like all the teachings of Quran is equally for women too, and she is responsible, you know, independently about her actions, her ibadat, her economically, her earnings, and her, you know, service towards the society too. So that is something really,
yeah,
really amazing.
Definitely, again, with some conditions.
Yeah.
And again, Islam's first priority towards women is her family, her house. That's why Islam, as this beautiful hadith, so many times we have shared with our dear listeners, that jihadul mar'i Husnut Taba'ul. Husnut, in Husnut Taba'ul comes everything. Good behavior, you know, upbringing your children in a nice way according to Islamic rulings, your behavior with your father, your family members, your, you know, mother-in-law, father-in-law, with your husband. All these things come under the one single sentence, Husnut Taba'ul. Good behavior towards your
husband and towards your family and in-laws, yeah, which is the big task for her.
Another very important issue is friendship with non-mahram. This is a very big issue. Maybe we have talked about it in brief, but we want to focus on it and go into the details because this is a very important issue. Sometimes maybe some people say that Islam is very strict, you know. Islam does not want women to, you know, feel happy or, you know, enjoy themselves. No, Islam says like men can enjoy their life, they have freedom. Women also have freedom. They can enjoy their themselves also, but within some limits. And these limits are for a very good reason. And that reason is the tranquility, the peace, the calmness in our society, in our families. Because if you have that calmness and peace and tranquility in your family, within your family, then it will show in your society. So Islam has these limits not only for women, for men also. Men also not allowed to do friendship with non-mahram ladies and women.
Can you believe it? Imam Ali alayhi salam, he never used to start talking to young girls. And he knows that saying salam, greeting, it has so much reward. But he would say, I'm just doing this precaution. I'm taking this precaution that maybe, you know, by greeting a young namahram girl, you know, that greeting starts towards some non-permitted conversation. So he is just stopping himself. So he's Imamul Muttaqeen, you know, the leader of pious people. So believers. Much piety we can see in a beautiful seerah of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam.
Even in this ayah, the verse of Holy Quran also say, Muhsanatin غَيْرُ مُصَافِحَاتٍ وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانٍ. They do not make friendship with non-mahram.
I know in Quran two times Allah has mentioned about this friendship between opposite sex. So it's something really nice that Islam knows from beginning. You know, it's something not new. So Islam says, you are not allowed to have friendship, you know, like too much, you know, relax, have conversation with opposite sex, yeah?
Unfortunately, yeah, it is very common. It is very normal. So nobody is conscious about these things. They say talking to, you know, a female and male is a very normal thing. When you look from a bird's view, you can see that it has a very good reason. Why should we not intermingle with non-mahram ladies or non-mahram men? All these are because of our own social health, our moral health, our self-building also. If we have limited relationship, definitely that relationship lasts longer. It has more meaning. It has more pleasure for us. Whereas if you have a lot of relations, illegal relations, or, you know, socially and friendships, so many, then your own relationship with your family weakens, becomes very weak, and you do not get that pleasure from those relationships. Again, we are coming to end of this program. Thank you so much for being with us. I myself, truly, I benefit a lot from these beautiful riwayat and verses of the Holy Quran.
Yeah.
I hope our dear listeners also do so. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
For thought. Salam, friends, and condolences to you all on the fateful 19th of Ramadan, the day on which, while engrossed in the morning prayer in the Grand Mosque of Kufa in Iraq, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, was struck a fatal blow of a poisoned sword by the renegade Abdurrahman ibn Muljam. And the expression that came to the lips of the mortally injured vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as his fruitful 63-year life was about to end, was: by the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of عمل انسان بعد از ایمان.
Self purification is the most significant fact.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech in this holy month of Ramadan. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned. We must prepare the ground in the month of Ramadan to cleanse our souls away. Regarding this topic, there are several interesting narrations. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam states, when the holy month of Ramadan begins, all the sins of a believer are forgiven. This sentence of the Prophet means that through the following nights of the holy month of Ramadan, your faith starts to promote. This is exactly like the people of Jannah who ask Allah for nur or light. Asking for divine light means promotion and status.
بعد پیغمبر فرمود که وقتی اول ماه رمضان میشه.
Then the Prophet continues, when the holy month of Ramadan begins, all the gates and means for committing sins are shut down. Instead, all the doors to heaven are open and no gate is closed. This sentence of Prophet Muhammad means that the holy month of Ramadan is the best chance for a believer to promote his spiritual status in life. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech in this holy month of Ramadan, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turn barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while, but now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most. Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon as it appears in April and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
A batch of autonomous delivery vehicles has been provided to facilitate personnel and volunteers in the streets and communities of Shanghai. The self-driving vehicles distribute supplies to residents in the Chinese megacity, which is now hit hard by the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. The vehicles reduce person-to-person contact and largely lower the risk of infection. A community served by the distribution station has more than 30 apartment buildings and nearly 3,000 residents. The weight of each order is more than 5 kilograms, which puts great pressure on the volunteers to deliver. 49 autonomous delivery vehicles have been sent to communities, colleges, and hospitals in Shanghai to support anti-pandemic and supply work. Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The World of Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing. A lot of times when the singers hold the same word, but the next time they say that exact same word in the next few bars, they don't hold it as long. So trying to remember all of those is very difficult. So are they holding this for 4 beats or 2 beats? Or what word is this in this thing?
The challenge with opera is that it's very fluid and it's not repetitive. The tempos change throughout it, and night to night it even changes. The conductor, you know, kind of changes how he conducts things each night, and so that is something that is challenging.
The opera singers also give small cues to the actors, like opening a letter or sitting down or standing up, to keep them informed where they are in the piece. The deaf cast use theatrical ASL, or American Sign Language, in the production. DJ Kurse, the producer at the Deaf West Theater, says the performance is a little bit more poetic and a little bit more kind of picturesque.
A startup in the U.S. state of California is turning science fiction into reality by sending tiny robots on a fantastic voyage inside humans to treat brain disorders. The smart cells are small enough to be injected and can be carefully guided through the brain using magnetic coils placed outside of the patient's skull. The coils are linked to a computer that can remotely maneuver the robots through delicate pathways into the affected part of the brain. The micro-robots are also removed by rewinding them through the same route. The developers at Bionaut Labs say these robots are extremely important when it comes to zero-failure-sensitive surgeries.
For localized conditions such as cancer tumors, stroke, atherosclerotic plaque buildup, localized pain, and many other conditions, there is a real need to have a microrobotic, precise, remote-controlled mechanism that can treat a condition only at a specific point and nowhere else.
The startup has already tested the robots on large animals. Inventors hope to use the robot to pierce fluid-filled cysts within the brain when clinical trials on humans begin in 2 years. If approved, they could offer key advantages over more invasive and dangerous treatments for brain disorders. Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The
plan can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition, because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We are on a very important day. At first, I have a brief description about this day. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, was martyred on 21st of Ramadan, 40 AH, by an assassin who mortally wounded the holy Imam, peace be upon him, with a poisoned sword in the mosque at Kufa during morning prayers on 19th of Ramadan, 40 AH. On this sorrowful and sad occasion of the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, we extend our heartfelt condolences to all Muslim Ummah across the world.
Thursday is the 19th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 1st of Urdibehisht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Shia's first Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam.
His last salat Ali led. Ali was struck on the head. We all shall miss you, oh Haider. We all shall miss you. After he rose from sajda, Ali was stuck in Kufa. We all shall miss you, oh Haider. We all shall miss you. Warrior of Khaybar, our leader Haider.
Imam Ali and Ibn Muljim. Imam Ali, alayhi salam, was undoubtedly sure that Abdurrahman ibn Muljim would assassinate him. Historicist says that Ibn Muljim came to the Imam and pledged allegiance to him with the others who pledged their allegiance and withdrew from him. Then the Imam called him back and advised him to be trustworthy and to be sure that he was not treacherous and did not break his oath. He did that promise to keep his word, then he withdrew. A second time, the Imam called him back and asked him to be trustworthy and to be sure that he was not treacherous and did not break his oath. Ibn Muljim said, "By God, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have not seen you do this with anyone else except me." However, the Imam refrained from answering him. Then the Imam cited this poetic verse, "I want his friendship and he wants my death. The one who makes excuses to you is one of your bosom friends from the tribe of Murad." Then the Imam continued, "Go, Ibn Muljim. I do not think that you will keep your word. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Dear brothers and sisters, please accept our condolences on this day." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Prophet Muhammad's, the anticipation that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made with regard to the martyrdom fate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. First of all, it must be indicated that the infallibles in some cases are provided with the divine ability, I mean with the ability granted to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to anticipate the future. Of course, the anticipation of the future isn't anything, abrupt or anything strange. I mean, based on the indications and, context that they observe, they can anticipate the future of someone or the fate of somebody in the future. One of the cases has been that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam anticipated the martyrdom fate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please note carefully that martyrdom is one of the great graces that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give someone. As such, we find that among the divine prophets, many divine prophets achieved the martyrdom, and among the infallible imams, all of the infallible imams achieved martyrdom, particularly Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And among the infallible imams, And among the infallible imams in Islam, we find that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is always remembered as the imam whose fate was nothing but martyrdom. However, back to our mainstream, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this anticipation regarding Imam Ali alayhi salam's fate. And this anticipation the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made when the first two verses of the Surah Al-Ankabut was revealed unto him. And at that time, Imam Ali alayhi salam asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked whether it had been decreed to be to take place at the end of the Battle of Uhud. And he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered that no, because the Battle of Uhud was already over. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam, when assured of his martyrdom fate, thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated that martyrdom shouldn't be endured with, rather martyrdom fate should be thanked and should be praised, should be appreciated, because it's the best type of death. And according to a piece of hadith related by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who was a confident companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and lived long enough to meet the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the news of the martyrdom fate to Imam Ali alayhi salam and indicated that he would be martyred by receiving a hard blow on the head.
وكان من صفات أمير المؤمنين سلام الله عليه أنه يقرأ القرآن في كل ليلة يقرأ القرآن في آناء الليل وأطراف النهار قائما ليله عليا دمتنا علي فارق أنه يقرأ القرآن أنه يقرأ القرآن
عذي كل البشر تفدالك العلم عذي كل البشر تفدالك العلم عذي فارق
Imam Ali's last will. When physicians decided that the Imam, peace be upon him, would not survive, the Imam started to say his last will to his sons. I advise you both to fear Allah and that you should not hanker after the pleasures of this world, even though it may run after you. Do not be sorry for anything of this world that you have been denied. Speak the truth and act in expectation for reward. Be an enemy of the oppressor and helper of the oppressed. I advise you both and all my children and members of my family and everyone whom my writing reaches to fear Allah, to keep your affairs in order and to maintain good relations among yourselves. For I have heard your grandfather, the Holy Prophet, saying, improvement of mutual differences is better than general prayers and fasting.
Meditation in God is my capital. Reason and sound logic are the root of my existence. Love is the foundation of my existence. Enthusiasm is the vehicle for my life. Contemplation of Allah is my companion. Faith is the source of my power. Sorrow is my friend. Knowledge is my weapon. Patience is my clothing and virtue. Submission to the divine will is my pride. Truth is my salvation. Worship is my habit. and in prayer lies the coolness of my eyes and my peace of mind.
Victorious of the Imam. A group of Imam's companions came to visit him at the final hours of his lifetime. Habib ibn Amr had the honor to see the Imam. He gently said in his presence, "Your wound is not deadly. You will recover health." The Imam, however, answered, "O Habib, I will very soon depart from you." These words astounded Habib, who could not stop weeping upon hearing these words from her father. Lady Umm Kulthum wept heavily. The Imam, addressing her, asked, "What for are you weeping?" She answered, "How cannot I weep while I have heard you saying that you would very soon leave us?" The Imam, peace be upon him, said, "O daughter, do not weep. By Allah, if you can only see what your father can see right now." "O leader of the believers, what can you see now?" asked Habib. The Imam answered, "O Habib, I can see the angels of the heavens and the prophets standing on their feet, one after another, to receive me. I can also see my dear brother Muhammad sitting near me and saying, 'Come to us, because what you will experience is better than what you are now in.'"
See and analyze, why is it that Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was the object of so much hatred and enmity from those people during his lifetime? We see that these people actually had a problem not with Ali ibn Abi Talib as a person. They had a problem with Islam, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The reason why they hated the Imam alayhi salam is because of their hatred for truth. Because wherever Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam went, he would remind them of the truth. His presence, his mere presence, always reminded them of what they should do and what they should don't. And that makes some people uncomfortable. We've seen this in our societies, right? I know some people, they avoid being around certain pious individuals because that does not make them comfortable. Because that God-fearing person will remind you of your own duties, will make you ashamed, even if he doesn't say anything. His mere good behavior makes you ashamed of your bad behavior. So that's why you're not comfortable being around that person. These people were not comfortable being around Ali ibn Abi Talib because he was the symbol of truth. And that is why Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is the symbol of truth, because he represents the religion of Islam. And the hatred towards Ali ibn Abi Talib is actually towards Islam.
Dear brothers and sisters, on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, we extend our condolences to all Muslim brothers and sisters, especially Shia ones. We leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'bah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Music. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.